Today's programs are sponsored by Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis. This two-year, 24/7 discipleship process challenges students to allow God to take hold of their hearts through the daily, in-depth study of God's Word, servant leadership, local ministry, and international mission experience. You may contact Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis by calling 317-823-2349. Thanks to Calvary Chapel Bible College, Indianapolis for their support of Christian Radio.
CCBCI at ccbci.org.
Welcome to Journey Through the Word, a teaching ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. Today, Bill Goodrich, pastor of Horizon Christian Fellowship, continues his teaching verse by verse, chapter by chapter, and book by book through the Bible in this edition of Journey Through the Word.
All right. Open your Bibles to Mark chapter 16, please. We find ourselves wrapping up this morning the Gospel of Mark. Next week, we will, Lord willing, go into Galatians chapter 1. Why we're going from Mark to Galatians is that instead of doing Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John all in a row, we started with Matthew, then we went to the book of Acts, and then we went to Luke, and then we went to from there, Romans, and so we're not doing all the Gospels together. So we finish up the Gospel of Mark here, and very special section that we see in Scripture, the Great Commission, not the Great Omission. Now, if you've been a Christian, you've studied this, we understand the challenge that is there for each and every one of us to take the gospel message. It is the gospel message, the truth of the gospel message, empowered by the Holy Spirit that has changed your life, if indeed you've given your heart to Jesus Christ. It isn't any work of man. It isn't because we are good. It isn't because we ascended to something that we finally understood. It's the work of God in each and every one of our lives. We know that. We know that we're encouraged in Scripture to go into all the world and preach the good news. We know all of this if we've been a Christian for any amount of time. But it's good for us to review it. It's good for us to be encouraged once again. It's good for us to be reminded that we have the privilege of doing this. So last week when we were outside, we had a message concerning the resurrection. And I'd like to just go back to those 13 verses, starting in chapter 16, verse 1, to remind us where we were last week, and then we will continue from then. There. In verse 1, it says, "Now when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Salome, brought spices that they might come and anoint Jesus. Very early in the morning, on the first day of the week, they came to the tomb where the sun had risen." When the sun had risen. "And they said among themselves, 'Who will roll away the stone from the door of the tomb for us?' But when they looked up, they saw that the stone had been rolled away, for it was very large. And entering the tomb, they saw a young man in a white robe, long white robe, sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed." As we know, according to other gospels, that was simply an angel that they saw there. And then verse 6, it says, "But he said to them, 'Do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here.'" He is not here. Anybody say praise the Lord? And that's true. Boy, I'll tell you that if he didn't rise from that grave, we would still be in our sins, according to the message that we find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. But in that he has resurrected, we are free by faith, and we can be forgiven of all of our sins. It goes on in verse 6, it says, "See the place where they laid him, and go tell his disciples." So immediately we see, after the message is the reality of the tomb being empty, they are encouraged to go. And today we are encouraged to go. Today we're going to be encouraged that we have a responsibility, as I've mentioned, to go and share the good news with whomever we can. See, you will be in places that I will never be. You will know people that I will never meet. You will have understanding about things that I never will. And so will I, as far as you're concerned. And so we see that each and every one of us has a great responsibility, a great privilege to go and take the gospel to a needy world. I believe that if someone hadn't taken the gospel to us, then we would not have heard the message. It started from the disciples. It started right here. It has continued through the centuries. And Christians like you and I have been taking the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ throughout the world. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. So they went out quickly, fled from the tomb, for they trembled and were amazed, and they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. Now, verse 9, when they rose early on the first day of the week, or he rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had cast seven demons. She went and told these things. She went and told those who had been with him as they mourned and wept. And when they heard that he was alive and had been seen by her, they did not believe. I've underlined that in my Bible, and I put after that, will you today, will we today believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's very important that we do that. It's a powerful thing. It will radically change our lives. And then it goes on and it says, and after that, verse 12, he appeared to in another form to two of them as they walked and went into the country, and they went and told it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. So something happened about 2 years ago that was the most powerful thing that what mankind has ever seen happen. The resurrection of Jesus Christ. You could take all the bombs that ever have been built, all the weapons that have ever been designed, you could put them all together and explode them at one point, and it still wouldn't be as powerful as the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It has the power of the resurrection, the reality that it's put into all that we understand here in the gospel message concerning the resurrection and Jesus Christ. It has the power to change a life of a person from going to hell to going to heaven. I'd say that's pretty powerful, wouldn't you? There it is. Simply by faith, we have that. This power, man has not known and will never know a power greater than the power found in the resurrected life of Jesus Christ. There and only there is found the power over death for all of mankind. It is there that we find the power for a person, as I said, to have eternal life, to have eternal. And guess what? You and I have been endued with that power from God to take the gospel to those that have a need. It's an exciting thing, is it not, to see someone give their heart to Jesus Christ? Yes, it is. It is very exciting to see someone give their life. It's life-changing. I can say this. I can't say it in the third service, and I have to be careful because I don't want to embarrass, but our neighbors have recently, I've shared with you, come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Right there, living right next to us. Believe it, you know, because it's just an amazing thing, and we've been enjoying it. We've been watching how the Lord, first of all, he came. Jesse came to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And then Vi got to share with Amanda, and she gave her heart to Jesus Christ. And we'd just been rejoicing in that. And so we said, would you come over? Let's talk about Scripture. So Vi's been discipling Amanda, and I've been discipling Jesse. And they said that they wanted to get married. And we said, that's a good thing to get married, you know, and they were excited about that. And so we have been having them come over to have premarital counseling, and they're going to get married and have a privilege to do that, and they've taken proper steps in their life to be where the Lord wants them to be, and we're very happy to see that. But last Sunday, I realized in the morning, I'm coming over here, and I realized, golly, it would be good for those guys to be baptized. You know, and I thought, what's wrong with me? I didn't bring it up during the week at all to give them an opportunity to prepare about it. So I had to think, do I tell them? You know, do I text them? So I decided to text them. You know, it's about an hour before the service starts. And so I text him, and he came to the service, and Amanda came to the service, and he says, we won't be able to get baptized today. And I said, that's fine. Maybe there'll be another time. And so I didn't know what was going on in their life, you know, because that's an important step, isn't it, to be baptized. It's very important to do that. And so after the service, we went over to the pool, we were baptizing, and Vi had mentioned that they were off behind there outside of the fence, and I thought, oh, that's nice that they're there. And then they disappeared. But I look back there and they weren't there. And I go, oh, and she went, oh, I wonder where they went. And so then we look around and all of a sudden, instead of being outside of the fence, way removed from it, they're right there at the fence, right there at the gate, looking in with their nose in the webbing there and all that. And I thought, that is neat. It's neat to see them. It's wonderful to be involved with people that are giving their heart and growing in their knowledge of Jesus Christ. So after the service, Amanda was telling me that when we gave an invitation, is anybody else that want to be baptized after those got baptized? And this one girl, 8-year-old girl said, I want to be baptized. And it was really neat. She was shaking. And I thought maybe she was afraid to be baptized or she felt pressure to be baptized. And she said, no, I just know I got to be baptized. And so that's why I'm shaking. I'm so excited about being baptized. And so she got baptized. And it was really a special moment there to see that. And then I said, after that, I said, is there anybody else that wants to get baptized? And Amanda was back on the other side of the fence, and she was thinking to herself, I do, but she didn't have a suit, and she wasn't dressed that she could do that. And so after we were talking to them, and they said, can we get baptized? And I said, yeah, but we got to do it pretty quick, if you wouldn't mind, because they're going to empty the pool. And we could do it anywhere else, but anyway, the pool's nice to do it. So on Labor Day, we went over and had a baptism, and they both got baptized. How sweet, how wonderful to see people changed by the truth of the gospel message of Jesus Christ. He came to this world. He died for each and every one of us. He rose from the dead to the living. And the power of God is unleashed at that point. The power of God. And he ascended back into heaven for to come back very soon for each and every one of us. Let's look at Mark chapter 16, verse 14, please. It says, later he, Jesus, appeared to the leaven as they sat at the table. And he rebuked their unbelief and hardness of heart because they did not believe those who had seen him after he had risen. You know, for Jesus to rebuke something, you know, that's very, very important. Now, the word belief, as we know, could be in the Amplified Bible, it's added to, and it could be translated to trust in, to rely upon, to adhere to. It could be in application in those ways. And so it's a powerful word. It means just not just a mental assent. It means a change in life. It means a heart change to trust in, to rely upon, to adhere to when a person comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Now look in verse 15. Again, the Great Commission. Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. So the command comes that we are to go. Again, it's not the great omission. It is the great commission. We are to go and share with anyone we can about Jesus Christ. He says, he who believes, notice, and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will not be condemned. Now, it's interesting. This verse, I believe, is taken out of context by many people, and it's used to say that here, see, in this, it proves that we must be water baptized to be saved. It's not teaching that at all. How do I know that? Because we're going to see in other areas, as we look in some scriptures here, it's not there when it's talking about salvation. So inductively, scripture needs to support scripture, and you don't always see that to be saved, you have to be baptized in that way. So it's not saying here you have to be baptized, it's saying that it's good. If you're saved, then a step that you would take naturally would be to be water baptized. So Jesus, again, saying, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will not be, he who does not believe will be condemned. Notice right there, it doesn't say, and he who does not believe and is not baptized will be condemned. So it's simply that we give our heart to the Lord by faith, then eternal life comes into our life, and then an outgrowth of that we are saved is that we are baptized. If you've never been baptized, you know, there's still time over there. The pool, we did drain it to a certain point, but we didn't put the cover on it, and definitely it's now filled back up with all this rain out there, okay? And so we can go baptize afterward, you know, have a good old time. If you haven't been baptized, it's a great experience. The water will be cold, so it'll be a quick baptism in that way. But it's a beautiful thing that we see. Jesus goes on in verse 17, he says, and these signs, notice, the power of the resurrection, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the power that is represented there. And these signs will follow those who believe, those who follow after the Lord. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will be by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. The power that is there in the resurrection, the power that is there in the gospel message will change the lives of people, and we can be involved in seeing the changing of a person's life just simply by believing. These signs will follow those who believe. In the name, they will cast out demons. Scripture, Jesus is telling us that if we're ever faced with the demon, we go into Scripture and it says, greater is he that is in our life than he that is in the world. The enemy's in the world. And so he that is God in our life is greater than an enemy. We can take authority in the name of Jesus Christ, even over the demons of this earth. That's a powerful thing. It goes on and it says, and they will speak with new tongues. Gifts of the Holy Spirit can be part of our life because of the resurrection, the power of the gospel in our life that we see. They will take up serpents. I don't recommend that. We're not into serpent service type things. But if you get into a situation and somehow that happens, Paul reached in for a stick to put in the fire and a viper bit him. They expected him to die. He didn't die because he believed in Jesus Christ. So miracles can happen in and through our lives. They'll drink anything deadly. Then I don't recommend that we do that. Don't tempt God in any way whatsoever. But if something comes our way and it's poisonous, God can protect us from that. And it says it will by no means hurt them, and they will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The power that is found in the gospel of Jesus Christ is an amazing thing. Go with me to Matthew 28, please. Again, a message that we know. And thankfully, it's a message that we share often. Verse 18 of Matthew 28. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, there's the command, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And so discipling people, we can't disciple unless a person has received the Lord. So part of discipling in reality is leading a person to the Lord. And then as we bring them to the Lord, we have a responsibility. Get them into the Word. Be a mentor. I thank the Lord that there was a couple, Jerry and Donna Lawson, and Brian I accepted the Lord. They were instrumental in inviting us to go to church. So we went to church, and we went to a church about a month prior to giving our hearts to the Lord. But after we gave our hearts to the Lord, they invited us over immediately for dinner. We knew them anyway, but they invited us over, and they began to open the Scriptures to us, and they began to disciple us. And Jerry was there all the time getting in my noggin and telling me about the truth that is found in Scripture. And we grew rapidly because they cared enough about us to disciple us, to mentor us, to get us into the Word of God. If you want to be the Lord's disciple, the Word says, then read the Word, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And we just believed that, and we started praying for that. Give us a burning desire to read our Word. But there was Jerry and Donna, and there was others too that came along our lives. So we got into the Word of God. We got into Bible studies and all that. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations. Yeah, make sure they get baptized in the name of the Father and Son and the Holy Spirit. But look at verse 20. Teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. Salvation is important, but then come the growth principles. The birth principles lead us to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. So thankful for that. But then discipling helps us sit down with a person and say, have you considered this? Your lifestyle is this way, and this is what the Word of God says. And go, oh, is that what the Word of God says? Then they can make a choice. It's powerful to be able to do that. In Acts chapter 1, verse 9, or 8, excuse me, it says that we shall be endued with power from on high, and that we can go to be a witness for Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost. Guess where Camille is going? She's going to the uttermost. We see that in our fellowship here, that people are willing to go. It's important. Go with me to John chapter 3, please. John chapter 3. Just for a moment, we've done it before, but it's important to refresh ourselves. Let's look at the message that we are to take to a needy world. We're not to hide this message. We're to give it and share it anytime we can. Verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with you. So he was coming only so far, and he had a belief, but not a belief unto salvation. And Jesus came back, understanding what was in his heart. In verse 3 said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now, we know what that means, but maybe someone here today doesn't know what that means. Why must a person be born again? Nicodemus in verse 4 said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again." Can you share that message with somebody that has a need to be born again? Can you take them back to Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3? There they are, perfect before God in the Garden of Eden, and they could eat of any tree in the garden except for one tree, the knowledge of good and evil. For in the moment that you eat, that very moment that you eat of that tree, God tells Adam that you shall surely die. And so we go into chapter 3, and the serpent comes along, the devil comes along and tricks Eve, that we know that, and deceives her. And she yields and eats of that fruit, and then she gives to her husband, Adam, and he eats of that fruit. And right there, at that very moment that they ate of that fruit, you know the answer. They died a spiritual death, doomed to a physical death. When we are born into this world, we are doomed to a physical death, and we are born separated spiritually from God. And because of what Adam and Eve did, they were doomed to a physical death, but they died a spiritual death. That is what we inherit as a human being when we are born here into this earth in a physical way. And Jesus was saying, yeah, you have to be born physically, but more importantly, you must be born spiritually to be born again. One might say, how do you become born again? I didn't understand that. I truly didn't understand it until I was 27 years old, and I finally heard the message. People tried to share it with me, but I wasn't willing to hear that. It simply said that I had to come and repent. I had to believe in my heart and then confess, as we will see in a moment, that Jesus is God, and ask him to come into my life to become my Savior and the Lord of my life. It's an amazing thing. It's a powerful thing. Jesus goes on there in verse 8, says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit." The Spirit moves in the lives of people. For Jesse and Amanda, their salvation time was just within the last 2 months. How wonderful to see that. Some here have been, you know, for decades and decades. Someone here may, as I said, may not truly be born again yet. And today could be the day that you give your heart to the Lord. Look at verse 9. Nicodemus answered and said to them, "How can these things be?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "Are you the teacher of Israel, and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things and you did not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he," meaning himself, Jesus, "who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent," he takes Nicodemus back to the Old Testament and something that he would understand in his mind, "as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up." What is Jesus saying? Jesus had to die on the cross. We know that. The gospel message, he's preaching and sharing the gospel message. And notice verse 15, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have what? Eternal life. Eternal life. The power of the gospel message. And we are not to be ashamed of it, for it is the power of God. Paul said that. It's the power of God. And that's what you and I have. I pray that we're not tired of this message. I pray that it would be a refreshment for each and every one of us. There it is again. Whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, verse 16, let's say it together, starting there, verse 16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." How long is everlasting life? Anybody glad that you have it today? Praise the Lord. It's by the power of God, the work of Jesus. For God, verse 17, did not send his son into the world to condemn the world. I'm thankful for that. But that the world through him might be saved. And he who believes in him is not condemned. Do you believe today? Do you trust in, rely upon, adhere to? He who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. I, like you, maybe you were like me. I thought I was saved. I thought I was a Christian, but I truly wasn't because I just ascended in my mind and I hadn't made that trip into my heart. In verse 19, it says, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than the light because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light lest his deeds would be exposed. How true that is. That's why people don't come to Jesus. That's why they don't like Christians. That's why they don't come to church, because if they come in there, then their deeds potentially could be revealed. God would shine light on that. The word could go out. It could be a gospel message preached like now, and that your need would be exposed, and they don't want to hear that. That's why they won't come in. Guess where we have to go? Out to them, to love them, to share with them, to serve them, to do anything that we can that they might have eternal life. For everyone practicing evil hates the light. But look at verse 21. But he who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. What a wonderful message that we see here. Go with me, please, to Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. The message that we are to take to a needy world. Look at verse 9, Romans chapter 10. Paul says that if you confess... So confession is important. With your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and you believe in your heart. Believe is a necessity. In your heart, not in your mind. That God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. It's all tied into faith. For Scripture says, whoever believes, notice verse 11, on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon God. This is one of the verses, many verses, I believe, that we see through Scripture that teach that the salvation message, the gift of eternal life, is for all of mankind, whether he be Gentile, whether he be from Africa, whether he be from Asia, whether he be from the United States or he would be from Europe, he or she or anyone, all of them. The gospel message has gone out. It says in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, it's God's desire that all men would come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we see that right there. But look at verse 13. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord, what's it say? Shall be saved. That 8-year-old child last week touched my heart deeply, you know, that she wanted to be saved, or she wanted to be baptized. And she knew that she needed to be baptized. That's the movement of the Holy Spirit in her life, wouldn't you say? She knew that. Oh, that we would desire to be as obedient. Whoever believes on him will be not put to shame, but whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And look at verse 14 and 15. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Guess who is the preacher? Yeah, I didn't hear anybody say you. Thank you. I am, but you are. You is. All of us are. Every single one of us are the preacher. We have that responsibility. We have that privilege. I don't think there's anything more exciting in life than to see an individual come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Can anybody think anything? I don't care winning $40 million in the lottery or anything like that. That doesn't measure up to a single person, not going to hell, but going to heaven. Anything more powerful? Anything more valuable than that? No way. There was a man one time in a Sunday school class. The gospel message was preached. He listened to that message. He gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He would go on to preach to millions upon millions upon millions of people, and hundreds of thousands of people would give their hearts to Jesus Christ. Who would that be? Billy Graham. Not amazing? Golly, he believes that there's not much reward he's going to get. If he doesn't get any reward, I don't stand a chance. I don't stand a chance. But there is nothing more exciting. I've been seeing the gospel preached. I've been to a Billy Graham crusade. I've watched all that happen, and they speak message, the message and all that, and then wait, and they start that song, just as I am, right? That's the song, just as I am. And then I just see people going forward to give their heart to Jesus Christ. And you can't not be moved. You have to be driven to tears when that happens, to see people come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. It's a work of God. It truly is. Notice verse 15. It says, "And how shall they preach unless they are sent?" Camille, you're being sent by the Holy Spirit. We just get to witness that. "How shall they preach? How shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." Isn't that a neat verse? Isn't that a neat verse? Yeah. It truly is. The message that we have is a powerful message. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll close here. Well, actually, we'll go back to Mark 16 and close there. And I'm not going to read through it, but I'd like to point it out to you in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. It starts in verse 3 and says this: "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ." What does every mean? It means every, doesn't it? He goes on in verse 4, he says that we have been chosen. He goes on in verse 5 and says he has predestined us to adoption as sons. He goes on there and then in verse 6 to say that we've been made acceptable to God. In verse 7, in him we have redemption. We have his grace there in verse 7. In verse 9, having been made known to us, the mystery of his will. We know the mystery of his will. There also in verse 11, it says, in him also we have obtained an inheritance. And down in verse 13, it says, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. All of these things we've been given because of the gospel message and because of the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. Anybody say praise the Lord? You ever tired of this message? It's the message of salvation. There is no other name under heaven whereby man can be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. He's the only one that had the power to rise from the dead to the living. He has done that for you and I. And let's close with Mark chapter 16. Please go back there. Ed, if you and the worship team would like to come up, please. Mark chapter 16. Look at verse 19. We close out the Gospel of Mark by these two verses. It says, "So then, after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." Where is Jesus today? Right hand of God the Father. Where is he? I believe he's standing on his tippy toes right there by the Father, and he's waiting for that word, the bugle to sound, and then the door to open, and he's coming to receive his church again, that we might be with him forever and ever. "After the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God." And notice verse 20, "And they went out." It's you and I. They went out and preached where? Everywhere. "The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs." Amen. And that's the opportunity that we have. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. Let's stand together, please. Today, if you've never received the gospel, it would be wonderful if you'd love to do that. All you have to do is believe, trust in, rely upon, adhere to the Lord, and simply come and confess with your mouth that you've sinned against God. Simply say that in prayer. Then you come and invite Jesus to be the Savior, the Lord of your life, and you give him your heart. It's a wonderful promise. It's a wonderful reality. It's the power of God working in the hearts and minds of people. Father, we thank you. So we just pray, if any here need that salvation, that as we just worship you through song now, Lord, that they would simply say a prayer and ask you to forgive them. Ask you to forgive them of their sins. And that they would invite you into their hearts. They would receive you as Savior, as the Lord of their lives. And I pray that you would meet them in a powerful way. Many have wandered, Lord, today. They're here. They've realized this truth, but they've wandered from you. And they need to return. Lord, guide them in a prayer that would cause them to return to you. And so bless us, Lord. Thank you that we can be involved with the gospel message. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bill will continue his teaching in our next broadcast. Journey Through the Word is a listener-supported ministry of Horizon Christian Fellowship in Indianapolis. We appreciate your prayers and support. If you would like more info about Horizon Christian Fellowship, you may call 317-823-2349 or visit us at horizonindy.org. Please join us next time when you'll hear the pages turn and journey through the Word. Journey through the Word.